Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Many are calling it the Rooney Bowl, not us, even though the Rooney family has wanted this game in Dublin for decades. They're finally getting it, and it's a showdown of the team Mike Florio grew up loving, the Vikings, and the team that was right around the corner from where he grew up, the Steelers. And he joins us right now, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, this game is being played in Ireland for the first time. And apparently, because of a lack of field availability, these teams couldn't go over until Friday. What the heck's up with that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe there aren't enough football fields in Ireland that football teams from America can practice on. You're taking me down memory lane, though. I think it's 36 years to the day that I first attended a Vikings game, and it was at Three Rivers Stadium against the Steelers. I upgraded my tickets to the front row. And I thought that was a good thing until I realized the front row at Three Rivers Stadium was horrible because you couldn't see the field because you were blocked by the players and the coaches on the sideline. It was impossible to see a thing in the front row at the old Three Rivers Stadium.
36 years ago, so that would have been
89.
Oh, God, that would have been Bubby Brister. Versus
Steelers had lost 51-0 to the Browns.
That's right. It was week 3.
10, I believe.
That's right. That was their first win. Yep.
The Vikings were the Super Bowl favorites, and that was a very long 3 hours. If I could have dug a hole right under my seat and emerged on the banks of one of the three rivers, I would have gladly done it.
Was that a Wade Wilson special for Minnesota? Would he have been the quarterback then?
I can't remember. I blocked out as much of it as I can, but I had my jersey.
It would have been Wade Wilson, unless Tommy Kramer would have been starting at that point.
I would bet both played in that game.
It was one of the two. It was probably Wade Wilson. There's a chance that Rich Gannon was floating around at the time. It was just a long 3 hours.
How the hell?
When I learned, if you ever go to a Steelers game and root for the visiting team, wear nothing that would suggest you're rooting for the visiting team.
I'm just... Man, you want to talk about different NFL 36 years ago. Very hard for me to fathom a team quarterbacked by Wade Wilson being viewed as a Super Bowl favorite going into the year. Very hard for me to imagine that, Mike, just for the record here.
Well, that's because they had made the Herschel Walker deal.
And that was just weeks before they traded for Herschel Walker, who was supposedly going to change everything. And his first game was incredible, and then none of the other ones after that were. They still made it to the playoffs that year. Lost, I believe... 89, probably lost to the... It's a safe bet in that era that they lost to the 49ers.
That's correct. They got slaughtered 41-13. Mike, going back to what Pony opened up with about why these teams aren't going over until late in the week, can you enlighten me here? When the NFL decides that they're going to have a game like this overseas, I know this is the first one in Ireland, isn't the league such a huge corporate operation overall that they make sure that they have things like field availability very much covered well before they send these teams over? Like, I'll be honest. It seems remarkably slipshod on the part of a multi-multi-billion-dollar mega corporation that this is the reality for these teams.
Yeah, no, it does. And I made light of it before. You know, a lot of the teams go late in the week just because some teams have determined that the less time to be there is more conducive to winning. Some teams go over and spend the whole week. The Vikings are going to be there for an entire week after that when they play the Browns in London. But you'd think that that would be a basic prerequisite to having a game anywhere, having enough practice fields available so that whenever the teams went, if they wanted to go Monday the week before, they'd be able to go and they'd be able to practice a full week in that city, in that country. So it's surprising, and I hadn't seen that anywhere, but now I'm curious, and I'm going to have to look into it and write something at PFT.
Mike, how about this idea that these teams have international markets, they've designated teams, the Steelers pick Ireland, they pick Mexico, where they want to play, where they want to build their fan base up. Are we going to get to a point where we see these teams play quote-unquote home games in those markets that they've picked every other year? So say the years they have nine games in an unbalanced schedule, that ninth game for the Steelers, they can pick Dublin or they can pick Mexico City, and it's more at the discretion of the team, with the league obviously having some hand in it, but making that more of a common thing.
Well, if the league gets what it wants, which is the ability to play 16 international games per year, right now the collective bargaining agreement limits the league to 10. The league wants to get to 16. That means every team plays one game in another country every year. So the year that you have nine home games, one of your home games becomes a game elsewhere, and it makes sense to be playing in the country where, and it's just such a, it seems so arbitrary. Like it's a giant game of risk, and they're negotiating over who has the rights to which country. It really is odd, and it doesn't guarantee that all those fans are going to be fans of that team, but they have different marketing rights, and they're trying to, you know, more aggressively cram their team down the throats in those countries. But yeah, I could see that. It only makes sense. I know a lot of teams don't want to give up home games, but if you're doing 16 a year, you're going to give up that ninth home game every other year when you're due to have 9 versus 8, until they go to 18 regular season games, and then everything changes again.
Mike, I don't do this often, but and ask you kind of straight away about another game on this week's schedule that isn't the Steelers, but which 1-2 team is in more trouble, Kansas City or Baltimore, in your opinion?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Probably the Chiefs, because they haven't looked right even in the win against the Giants. They just need to come out and convince people that they're still the team that they were a year ago. Beating the Giants really didn't feel like it was much of an accomplishment. But, you know, the Ravens have every reason to be as concerned. Whoever loses this game falls to 1-3. They become kind of like the Bengals of last year, where you stack up so many losses early, you spend the rest of the year trying to dig out, because you get to 3, I don't know how many more you have. It's still, you know, what's it been, 4 or 5 years with 17 games. It's still hard to know what that minimum possible record is, but you get to 3 losses by the end of September, you got a problem, and you got to play a lot of winning football to avoid slipping out of the playoff chase.
Mike, it's going to be Carson Wentz for the Vikings. Mike Tomlin made a point at his press conference of basically saying he thinks the Vikings are better with Carson Wentz than they are with J.J. McCarthy. And in order to say that, he took a Greyhound and rolled it right over Anthony Richardson in reference to a game last year where he told his guys we're better off with Richardson in the game than Flacco. And Flacco went in and subsequently beat them. Aaron Rodgers was asked, and we're going to hear this coming up, about his flirtation with the Vikings this offseason. He basically said it never got more advanced than him just having a relationship with Kevin O'Connell. Is that your understanding of things? Do we think in an alternative universe Aaron Rodgers is actually playing against the Steelers on Sunday?
Yeah, my understanding is Aaron Rodgers wanted to play for the Vikings, and the Vikings pondered it and ultimately decided to go with J.J. McCarthy. You know, it was a tough decision, because they have a team that's otherwise playoff ready. What will J.J. McCarthy do for that team? And does it make sense? Did it make sense? And I guess you could even change the conjugation to does it now that Carson Wentz has played well? Does it make sense to keep J.J. McCarthy on the sideline and just try to win games instead of this whole baptism by fire, growing through the rough spots and maybe having some not great games? I mean, McCarthy's had one good quarter in two games. Mm-hmm. So I think that the Vikings seriously considered keeping Sam Darnold, seriously considered keeping Daniel Jones, and seriously considered bringing in Aaron Rodgers, which I think puts pressure on them to get more out of J.J. McCarthy and to be ready to pivot to Carson Wentz if it looks like McCarthy just isn't going to be what they need him to be.
Is Daniel Jones this year's Geno Smith or something? Is Daniel Jones going to end up getting like a three-year, $100 million contract somewhere because of what's going on in Indy with him?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Sam Darnold did that last year after playing wire-to-wire for the Vikings when McCarthy was injured. We see this now. It's Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, and now Daniel Jones. Guys who get drafted into situations that are less than ideal. The only difference is Daniel Jones played well enough to get a second contract. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until he was a couple of years into the second contract that the Giants said, we need to move on from this guy. They went to the playoffs. They beat the Vikings in a playoff game 2022. And look at where the Giants are now and look at where Daniel Jones is now. That probably makes Brian Daboll more susceptible to termination than whatever happens with Russell Wilson and Jackson Dart. If Daniel Jones keeps playing really well, it's going to be hard for John Mara, the guy who calls the shots in New York, to get over that one.
Which, on that note, before we let you run, Mike, the Steelers thought when free agency happened and they lost all these guys that they were going to accrue all these comp picks. Russell Wilson's been benched. Najee Harris is out for the year. Justin Fields isn't playing right now. Give people a primer on how that works, or a refresher on how that works. Like, are the Steelers really not going to have as many picks as they thought they were going to have?
Well, the comp pick formula is something that very few people understand. And I'll submit to you, the league doesn't fully understand it, because for each of the past couple of years, after they announced the comp picks, some expert out there that understands it even better corrects the league, and they have to revise the comp picks and say, oh, no, we were wrong about that one.
Wow. You're right.
This one was a fifth rounder instead of a third rounder. So it is very complicated, but it's largely driven by free agent losses versus free agent gains. But then those players, what they do elsewhere that you have lost, that can drive up your overall comp pick haul. And yeah, the less they play, the less you're going to get when it's time to hand out the compensatory draft picks the next year.
All right, Mike, enjoy the early wake-up call on Sunday. We'll talk next week.
All right, thanks, guys. See you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.